It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. Lines available at the moment, 888-579-2540, toll-free. That's 888-579-2540. And on the Central Coast, it's a local call at 831-899-5792. Joining us now is Michael Ratner. He's president of the Center for Constitutional Rights based in New York, and he's heading to the left coast tomorrow. Hello, Michael.
Good evening, Peter. I keep thinking it's going to be morning over there, but hello.
It will be tomorrow. We bring you morning in America.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, I want our new listeners in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, to know a little bit about the Center for Constitutional Rights. We've just started on that station, Michael, and some of the listeners there in Sacramento may want to sally over to Davis on Friday evening, where you have a very special program with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now.
Yeah, we do. We have a great program. Amy Goodman, myself, Al McCoy, who's the author of an amazing book called The Question of Torture, and then Chaplain Yee, who people may remember was originally accused of espionage at Guantanamo, Muslim chaplain,
mm-hmm.
And eventually, of course, was completely acquitted of everything and is no longer in the military. And it's to really discuss Guantanamo, have a conversation about it, that, and torture, and where we're going in this country.
Some very interesting developments just today and in the last week, and let me tick them off and get your comments. First of all, Amnesty International released a 32,000-word report today, and it tells us a lot that we already knew. But it also asserts that when it comes to torture at U.S. facilities like Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib and the murky gulag, the locations of which are not all known by the American public so far, that this was authorized at the very highest levels. Next item, Donald Rumsfeld gave a speech in Atlanta today. And Ray McGovern, who is a principled man, a very courageous veteran of the CIA, in the question and answer period, spoke up and challenged the Secretary of Defense on his honesty regarding the war and policies, probably including torture. And finally, your organization, the Center for Constitutional Rights, won an important victory in the courts last week, and you have a team of attorneys on your way to Guantanamo to visit with a client, Salim Adem. So we see interesting developments in terms of public awareness of this pattern of torture attributed to the highest-ranking authorities in our government, and still your work is paying off with at least some relief from the courts.
Some relief, but it's been a slow process. Our clients have been in Guantanamo bordering on 4.5 years now, and we're only beginning to get some of our lawyers down there. It's been a few months we've been getting lawyers down there. As you said, we won a case last week allowing another one of our lawyers to get to a client. But the government fights us every inch of the way. I think the Amnesty report that you mentioned is obviously important. We've known for a long time that this started with higher-ups. There's been memos, authorizations from Rumsfeld to use dogs, to use stress positions. We know of the secret CIA sites. So it's really a gathering together a lot of the facts that we in the world know. And this administration has gone out of its way to prosecute lower-level military people and not go up the chain of command. So it's been, in some way I feel the administration is unraveling on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is when we really are going to be able to be effective and do something about it.
And, Michael, do you feel that you have struck a chord, not you personally or just CCR, but those of you who have been fighting these issues of basic fundamental justice for the rights of these accused individuals, do you feel that the American people are still rather oblivious to these concerns?
You know, I don't think they're as aware and as angry and as upset about it as they should be. I mean, I think it's their feeling that they're being made safer somehow by torturing non-citizen Muslims around the world, and they sort of want to look the other way. I mean, people generally oppose torture, but when you ask it in a specific context of, you know, ticking time bomb sort of scenario, then they don't oppose it. And, of course, the government or the administration has been good on trying to sell that scenario. I do think we're making headway on it. Certainly a lot of the courts, a lot of the international institutions have utterly condemned the U.S. All of our human rights groups have. But, you know, when you look at how the president has gotten away in the national security wiretapping, the warrantless tapping, I mean, even the Democrats have run from the issue. I mean, I find it just, it's appalling to me. It's really appalling how far off this country has gone in terms of what I consider fundamental rights.
Yeah, Russ Feingold should not just be standing there, to paraphrase the Godfather movie, with his microphone in his hand.
No, that's correct. He should be surrounded by Democrats saying, we support Feingold, we support censure on warrantless wiretapping. Instead, they ducked out the back door and wouldn't make any comments. And this is a fundamental right. This is a right that goes back to the Constitution, the right that you have to not be essentially inspected, intruded upon without a warrant from a court. And yet, you saw our Democrats, most of them, just turn tail. So we're at a rough moment. On the other hand, I've noticed that, you know, we wrote an article on impeachment called Articles of Impeachment against George W. Bush, and that has actually caused a lot of really support in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, surprising number of people are interested in impeachment. It's going on really all over the country.
Very interesting on that score. Legislators in the state level in Vermont and Illinois have introduced resolutions, and if they're passed, it is a remarkable undiscovered manner for a bill of impeachment to arrive in Washington. And we have to credit a blogger who discovered that in Thomas Jefferson's rules for the House of Representatives.
It is remarkable.
Michael Ratner is with us from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Wants you to know about their website, ccr-ny.org. That's ccr-ny.org. And the book about the articles of impeachment that Michael Ratner just referred to is prominently displayed on the home page. And I encourage you to take a look at that, because it lays out very clear in black and white the basis for impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Interesting item surfaced last weekend, Michael, at the Democratic State Convention in Sacramento, where the Progressive Caucus presented a panel on impeachment with Maxine Waters and others. And Maxine and some of the other panelists have proposed the idea of trying to impeach Cheney prior to Bush as a way of allaying fears that we would wind up with President Cheney if there were a successful impeachment of the president. What do you think of that strategy?
Well, I think what's exciting about it is that people are really beginning to think about this as a serious alternative. Whether it's Bush or Cheney or Bush and Cheney together, people understand that it's not just the problem of the war, it's not just the problem of Guantanamo, it's not just the problem of Katrina. We have an administration that is essentially running a gamut from either being incompetent to criminal, certainly one that violates the Constitution, and I think it's great. In fact, I was invited out to that forum, but I just figured, how many trips to California can I make?
And, Michael, I took a little solace in the wisdom of the jury in the penalty phase of the Moussaoui trial, because they rejected the smokescreen erected by our government using an amazing and bizarre set of legal arguments to try to connect this wayward al-Qaeda member to the events of 9/11. And I was pleased that the jury, in my view, made the proper decision. Your comment?
You know, I agree with you. When I saw it this morning and I read through the verdict sheet, I said there's maybe hope for us in America, because here the government piled on, you know, scores of people who had lost relatives. They brought in pictures of the World Trade Center. They tried to link him with that. And they tried to give him the death penalty. They even tried to manipulate witnesses to make sure he would get the death penalty.
They trotted out Rudy Giuliani.
That's right. I forgot that. And and the jury saw through it and made a sensible verdict, realizing that this was just, they were pushing this case too far. That, for all I know, the jury thought the man just wasn't all there, or they certainly looked at his background and they looked at the lack of connection with the World Trade Center, and they said this is just too weak a case for the death penalty. Pretty remarkable, and does restore hope. I agree. I talked about it with my kids tonight, and I said this is something. They saw through this.
Yeah. We also are seeing potential jury misconduct in the conviction won last week against Hamid Hayat, the part of the Lodi Mosque investigation with an FBI informer who, in my view, framed this misguided 23-year-old Pakistani-American. And a juror has come forward saying she was pressured to convict. So that's an interesting sidelight.
Also interesting. Seemed like another overtried case, a very sad case in my view.
Yeah. One final thing I'll ask you, Michael Ratner, and that is on the heels of the Moussaoui case, a number of people have come forward and argued that, you know, the real people we would like to see at trial include Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is alleged to be the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. And it's widely believed that we're not pursuing his prosecution because he has been tortured in our custody. We don't even know which detention center he is being held at, but he is alleged to be in American custody. But they won't put him on trial, even in the funky monkey military tribunals that have been set up at Guantanamo. What are your thoughts about that?
It would be surprising if he hadn't been tortured. I mean, even the, you know, the torture that took place at Guantanamo, which we're aware of, but at these CIA secret sites, you know, torture was quite routine, and they obviously would have a real problem trying to get independent evidence from that torture to try him. The Massawi trial does show me that they can't try these people, that you can, apart from the torture issue, that their whole argument that you have to have special tribunals or you have to have secret detention facilities or you can never try them, I think is just tossed out the window. You can, it's difficult, but you can try them and think, and really, if we think about our country, what really positive, it really sends a relatively positive message to me that we actually put a person on trial, went through a jury trial, at least on the penalty phase, and they found him should get the life imprisonment.
Right.
It's a testament that we could actually do that, and I just don't understand why we don't do it in the rest of the cases if we have evidence against people.
Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Again, he and Amy Goodman and others are appearing in Davis tomorrow evening. Is that at the
Freedom? It's called Freeborn Hall.
Freeborn Hall. Okay.
At Davis. It should be big. It's about 1,200 people it holds, and it should be a really interesting evening.
And start time is?
7 to 9.
7 to 9 p.m. That's at UC Davis Friday night. And Michael Ratner, thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
All right. Always a pleasure to talk with you.